there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart. But we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits, a uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today.
Hey, this is Howard Beck from Bleacher Report. You are listening to the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast.
Hard to Tell podcast episode 46. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca, and for the first time, it's the first time we're doing this.
Yeah,
we have two guests with us. Two. Yeah, y'all should feel special right now.
I do.
I do.
All
right. Two guests. Our guests. Our guests are, and they're not New Yorkers. Although they live in New York, they're out of towners.
We accept them.
Transplants.
The word transplants better, right? It's a little more friendly.
Oh, friendly. You are out of town. Be like, hey, you gonna chill with the tone?
Like disrespect, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm an honorary New Yorker because I went out shopping on Black Friday years ago. Okay.
That's all it takes now.
That's all it takes, bro.
Oh, yeah.
But they was in the Bronx too. They was like, oh, you're honorary New Yorker. I'm like, okay, you're the essence of New York. Yes.
So you got that respect.
All there right. You go. Yeah,
our guests are Melvin Taylor. He's the host of The Alternative with Melvin Taylor, and he's also a writer for Respect Magazine and a YouTuber.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And Kyle D. Johnson. Yeah, we got to put the D because you got to make the common names. You got to make it known that it's correct.
That's right.
He is the owner of KDJ Perspective. What's up, guys, man? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us, man. We appreciate
it. I appreciate
it.
You, man. Thank you.
Let me tell y'all how this came together. So I met Melvin last summer at a fight, of all places, because I don't think you even cover boxing like that.
Honestly, I really don't. I just wanted to see, because my family from Cincinnati, so yeah. I was like, I want to see Adrian Broner fight one day. Like, that'd be dope.
Which Broner fight was this?
Adrian Broner versus Mike Garcia.
Man.
So you know he took that L.
Yeah.
Terrell Miller was on the undercard too.
I wasn't an Adrian Broner fan, but that's all.
So we met there. We kept in contact, and then Kyle, we met at Big Three. Ice Cube was performing.
I picked all the songs. I was like, yo, I can't wait.
I was so hyped. You
can't wait.
Yeah.
I caught Dub C's feet, and I actually shot just that. It was like, it's the most iconic thing in hip hop. I equate that to like the first blunt that Snoop Dogg lights up in the morning. If I'm able to capture that moment,
oh my God.
Like, it's iconic.
It's incredible.
I got the feet up. See, like, stop playing with me.
What happened? Like, what happened gold. With that footage? Like, what?
Oh, he got it.
Oh, it's on my IG at King Kyle 1500. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's the right thing to do,
go ahead,
but I'm definitely say.
Yeah,
that's on KDJ Perspectives, you know, IG page. But yeah, we caught some iconic things that day, man.
So I was just making sure it was out there.
So we was talking that I did your show.
Right.
I did you guys' show, The Alternative of Melvin Taylor. Then I was like, yo, they got to come on the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast together. So yes, I told Dexter, and I was like,
to.
Yeah.
That's how he said it. He literally said that to me. I was like, yo, they have to come together.
They have to be here at the same time.
He said that, because I thought he was just going to invite Melvin. I was like, cool, I'll come with the camera. He was like, nah, both of
y'all
together.
No, y'all talking.
Yeah. I was like, bro, I'm behind the camera. I'll make people look. He was like, no, you're going to bring you and a fro. I was like, man.
He said you bring the energy behind the camera, and it could be in front of
the camera. I'm like, yo,
that's
too much charisma to only be behind the camera.
100%.
You know what I mean?
100%. There'd be times where I'll be like, if I do a solo show and me and him would just be talking in studio while I'm on air, and I'm like, yo, just get on the mic real fast so we can just have a conversation on the mic, because people can't hear you from back there.
He's like all the way over there.
I mean, mad opinionated too in the back.
He do.
He was talking. He
Why are you going to say that?
He do. Like, no, say how you really feel. I'm like, hey, man, come on.
Be real with the people. Like, that's me.
I am being real.
See, so now you get to be here and on the camera. People don't have to worry about not hearing you because you're right here on the mic.
I appreciate it. I think I sound good. I think
you go.
I think you
see, you got the smooth jazz voice. Let me see if
you got. No, both of you guys have a voice for late night radio.
Oh, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, Melvin's show is actually.
I know. I was just about to say that. Melvin's show is on the late night. You got like the old school.
You need that Quiet Storm in your life. I got you.
There you go.
I'll just put the shades on if you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, you should. And then Cam comes on, like, I promise to love.
Oh my God.
Promise to love.
Yeah.
You better watch your aunties out there. Quiet Storm. Come on now.
Hey, y'all.
Ain't nothing wrong with no
y'all
auntie.
Y'all might have to switch up the format of the show.
Hey,
I'm just saying. I'm saying, keep doing what you're doing.
It's open.
I mean,
are they it's open.
Yo, Dex, you want me to get you
with a bag?
Dex, you want me to get you annoyed real quick? One of the questions that Kyle asked at Barclay Center, he was like, yo, I don't remember what.
He finna throw me under the bus.
Wait, this is at the
bus.
At the Big Three.
We was in the media room. We was just talking. He's like, yo, what's Freddie Gibbs' deal? I need to listen to that dude or whatever. Something like that. He said,
wait.
He didn't know me, though. He didn't know.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. No. This is what I found interesting. Wait. I was like, yo, did he sell you on Freddie Gibbs? Because he has a thing of doing that.
I didn't say a word. It was like his ESGN hat.
He explained it to me like that's his favorite uncle. Like, he was like, he said, clear out the room.
It might be a little more than
that. It was one of those things where he was like, what's Freddie Gibbs' deal? And I was like, this is the guy you need to speak to. Here is Brian. Go ahead and have this conversation.
Yes, because Brian knows.
He knew what his underground was. He knew when his first words had came. His second mama's cousin.
Yep.
All that.
Sounds accurate to me.
On Thursdays, he likes blueberries for lunch. I'm like, with pancakes, bro? Like, with butter
you
on
do,
it.
You just got to flip them twice.
He knows a little too much.
He flipped the pancakes like he did the crack. I'm like, all right. And he transitions. He used to be a drug dealer. I'm like, oh.
None of this actually happened. No, by the way.
But, okay.
This is how I interpret things.
I was just about to say he didn't deny it, but then he did. All right, go ahead, Brian. I'm sorry. So
that was really it. You know what discussion I want to bring up? Because we were talking about this when we finished the alternative that day, because this is right after, not long after we had the podcast, Dexter, about useless animals. And we were talking about the mice and the flies in the apartment.
The rats,
because y'all had to get acquainted to New York because, again, for those listening, Melvin's from Chicago, Kyle's from Philly.
Yeah.
So that experience of just getting acquainted with, you know, the animals, the useless animals that
we have
in New York City.
It's not an animal, bro.
It's ridiculous.
Yo, by far, a New York rat is the most disgusting species ever to exist on this earth. So pigs, they like to stay in mud, right?
Yep.
Mud is something that's sent from God. Dirt and water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do their thing. You're trifling. Got it. Rats were able to survive in New York subways where we don't even know what germs exist. Scientists have went down into New York subway and said, we don't even know what this is.
Like,
and they're able to survive every single day. And they get 10,000 tons like rolling across on top of them. And they survive every day.
They
used to be light gray. They're like this, they're like this
they
color
dark.
Now. They, and they survive
they 12:45 midnight
every
at this point in time.
Day, bro. Every day.
Wait, I can't tell whether you're fascinated by them, impressed by their survival.
It's a little mix of both.
Because they survive through everything.
Gotta chill,
like,
think about it.
God can come through and just
by
wipe
the rat?
Yeah, yes. God can come through and wipe us all out. The rat gonna lay low.
And come back out and be like, I'm still here.
And he's gonna meet the next generation, bro. And understanding that these things are near me and they can like go across my feet and all that. Like,
We got to. Yeah. Did we share this on the podcast?
We shared this on the podcast.
They be doing double dutch and all that on the platform now. How do you even get up to the top? How do you go from the railroads to the top?
But the evolution is amazing, man.
I don't need that in my life.
Remember the point? I think the point that you said was that the one thing that bothers you is that if you trying to catch something and you're faster than it, cool. But once it starts moving faster than you, then you're like, we got an issue now.
I'm already fast. Like, if you're across, if you're all the way on the other platform, okay, I can see you. But all of a sudden, he start moving. I'm like, hold on, he could be right in front of my face. By the time I'm thinking this, you're already on my thigh. Like, I'm bugging.
You run a 40 time faster than Deion Sanders. We got an issue, bro.
Yeah.
They're
running a 3.5 anytime.
I told you about the big rat that they're not to be messed with. I told you about the Puerto Rican Day Parade after we were shooting that piece, La Cultura, the Puerto Rican boxing story. I had to plug that. And we were standing on the platform. Mm-hmm. And
I do remember this. Okay.
Dexter, you were standing by. You don't even want to remember.
Dex, like, no.
I don't want to remember. And to go to Kyle's point, the speed on this rat was crazy.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Oh, it was crazy.
They got, the fastest hands, the fastest feet.
He was just standing there. Talking. He looked down. He was like, oh. And then I looked down. I was like, what happened? And it's jumping over my foot.
Already. It was like that.
Then it went all the way to the end of the platform. It was a big rat. It was like the size of my forearm.
Yo, the rats here are just kittens or squirrels. Like, I'm scared of squirrels now in New York because I think that they're rats.
They move like rats.
The way that the way that rats act here are the way that squirrels act in Chicago.
That's mad ignorant.
Wait, squirrels get in your house?
Oh, my God. They be ridiculous.
So y'all are not here for the useless animals, too?
I'm not.
You're not here for the useless
animals. I had enough of that in college, so I'm good.
All right, well, this was a random beginning to the podcast, but I'm going to let's talk about who you guys are.
So
the people can know.
Cool.
Who are you? Melvin, let's start off with you. For people who are watching and can see, we are recording this on the day of the Lakers' first preseason game.
Jesus,
Melvin looks happier than a kid in a candy store.
Kyle does not.
I got the socks on. I got my hat, my bag. I got the Jordan 1s in purple and yellow. Let's go,
bro. And he's got the Magic Johnson throwback on.
Yes, sir. You already know.
So we can.
It ain't MJ Mondays. It's Magic Mondays. But go ahead.
That's going to piss some people off. Especially from your hometown.
Oh, it's okay. It happens.
It's going to piss some people off.
They'll be all right.
Tell us about you. You're here in New York. Everything you're doing with your show.
Look at his face, too. It was like a face-off. He was just like, yeah, I said it.
Yeah, I said it.
Said,
and I'm going to stand behind
you. You got to bring that energy.
Yeah, but you look at his hands.
Like, the way that he's like.
Let's go.
Wait, how do you not become a Bulls fan from Chicago?
So, here's the thing. Right. When
this speaks to you.
Born in Ohio. My dad's side of the family's there. Mom was from Chicago. We ended up moving to Chicago. When I was there, towards the end of the Jordan era, I was still mad young, trying to figure everything out.
Okay.
After he retires is when you get the whole Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry thing. But I'm like, all right,
Marcus
cool.
Marcus Fizer.
Right, all those guys. I'm like, all right, cool. People here are still going to support the team because it's your team. No, everybody jumps ship. So
really?
I'm like, what are y'all – are none of y'all loyal? Like, what's going – people didn't really start messing with the Bulls again until around Derrick Rose came back.
Yeah.
Or like right around that time when Ben Gordon was there. And they were like, okay, they kind of getting good.
Maybe.
Everybody in my family started picking different squads except – my grandfather. My grandfather's been a Lakers fan since Elgin Baylor was playing. Okay. So I was like, all right, at least he's consistent with who he picks.
Huh.
So we were watching one game, and it was the game against Phoenix when the Lakers came back. Kobe hit the elbow jumper and won the game.
Yes.
This was like before they got into overtime, my granddad was like, yo, Melvin, cut the game off. The Lakers about to lose. I was like, no, granddad, they got a shot. Like, they going to win this game. He's like, no, I don't want to watch it. Just cut it off. I'm mad. Granddad, they going to win this game. Let's just finish it out. They end up winning the game, and I was like, oh, this is my squad. I'm good, bro. I'm good.
And that's how you became a Laker fan.
That's even how I started.
So this is how you became a Laker fan. Mm-hmm. From Chi-Town, you came to New York. You're now doing the show, The Alternative with Melvin Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the people about your show, what it's about, and how you sort of came here to New York. And did
The Alternative just kind of started with me wanting to do my own show and be like, all right, I see everybody's doing something. Well, I need to do something myself, too. Like, how am I going to start a show? And before I moved out here, I was taking night classes for radio and TV. So I would go to work during the day, work all day till like 6 o'clock, and then go take a 7 to 11 night class in Chicago.
There you go.
And right when I was about to finish up the program, I got a job offer to move here, and I had to do it like within a week. Mm. So I just left, moved here, and some of my homies back in Chicago said, hey, we have a radio station that we're starting up, and if you just want to do a show for us once you get on your feet, just let us know and we can start it. So I was like, okay, what's my show going to be called? Came up with The Alternative because I wanted to play stuff that was different than what you would hear on mainstream radio.
Mm.
I don't want the classic like top 50 that you're going to hear, oh, these are the hottest 50 songs. No, I want to go through somebody's mixtape, go through somebody's album and be like, these four mixtape songs are better than these 8 album songs. I'm going to play these songs versus these. That's how the alternative started.
And what kind of music could people hear?
So it's mostly hip hop. You get like an occasional pop song. I did play like Post Malone a couple times, but then he has some stuff to say about hip hop, so I was like, I'm good. But it's mostly like hip hop and R&B.
Thank you for your service in doing
no
that.
No problem. I
appreciate
unafraid
that.
To do that. I'm like, listen, if this how you came up and then you got something bad to say about it, oh shoot, fly, don't bother me. Yeah. I ain't worried about you.
The alternative to not listen.
There you go.
So you were from Philly, 215.
There we go, 267. You know what I mean? Upper Derby with the 610s and all that. Okay. What you know about Upper Derby, bro? We going to connect or something?
No, my former roommate.
He went to Pitt.
I went to Pitt. My former roommate, Brian Wallace. He's from around that area. He's actually from Norristown.
Norristown. With all the cobblestone. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You ain't riding nowhere without the cobblestone. That's all it is. You
riding. I know about that 610, too. I know a little about that 610. My man, So I understand that. All right, so you from Philly. Tell us about your journey here and KDJ perspective. Tell us all about that.
All right. Started out up at Derby, then after that went to Philly. And so I had high school in Philly, Millersville University, because I needed a change. You know what I mean? I got tired of being in class and being like clapping it up because I was right and all that. I needed another. You know what I'm saying, dog? Like, after a while, you get tired of being the right one. So I was like, I need a different perspective. So I went to Millersville University and I got it. Mm-hmm. I got it. It was one of those. You've been around like Lancaster, PA, with like the Amish.
Amish
yeah.
Stuff. The only reason why black folk go out there is because of the outlets and the smorgasbords and all that type of stuff.
I've been there.
They actually like park their horses like at the gas station.
That's hilarious.
Like they pull it, and they got them wooden scooters and they be kick pushing like on the highway. Like,
shout out to Lupe.
Shout out to Lupe, but not that album. But
not that album.
You talking about the most recent one?
I'm talking about the one that just dropped.
All right. I ain't heard it yet.
We're going to have to come back to that.
You said kick push, and I was like, wait a minute.
No, that's the latest album.
I thought he was saying Food and Liquor.
I was like, no.
Latest.
He's talking about the one that's 1 hour and 1,000 minutes long.
The one that opened with the Spanish intro that somebody told me.
And all of a sudden, he was Elephant Man in one of them. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? You're from Chicago. But the thing about it is, man, all right, so I'll speed it up. Boom. Was in college with the news and sports and wore like nine hats and all that. Nothing was working out. I was like, yo, I'm about to quit this thing, media. But then I went to NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists. Wound up getting scooped up. And I mean, I ain't going to bring up the job. But wound up getting scooped up, came to New York, right? So I went from a 40 market to number one. Then after that, while I was working there, it just got to a point where I was like, it just clicked. I'm like, bro, like you're literally like working on someone else's dream every single day.
Yeah.
And like, I thought when I came there that you wanted my vision, and like, I didn't know I was going to be used as like the black one to go into these black communities and get stories and then give it to you. It's like,
You're the urban transit.
Because he knows about that life.
Bro, we'll talk about this off camera. We already know about this.
Writing the song.
You can tell by the face. He's like, oh, I like this.
The thing about it is, it could get there. But the thing about it is, it just got to the point where like I knew I was going to get it. I knew I was going to get fired. So I was like, I'm just going to stay until y'all fire me because I'm going to get these checks. You know what I mean? But the thing about it is like that bug of owning my own business, I thought it was going to happen later. But God just had it worked out where it was like, you know what I mean? I was waiting on, like, I was doing like Uber and Postmates and all that to save up money for good cameras and all that. And it was just like, I had this old like Rebel T3i, you know what I'm saying? And I just started getting things. I knew it was about access and treating people right, you know what I'm saying? So right now, to just basically speed it up, like, I've been owning my own business, but basically just being on the ground and, like I said, treat people right and understand it's about access. And if I want to be able to help build empires, then I provide a service for people that people don't have. I have a vision and I have creative ways that I can be able to express and get your brand and your business out there. Right. You know what I'm saying?
It. Yeah.
So it's like when I met Melvin and whatnot through one of the artists that I cover, I'm like, bro, like, what do you do for this and that? I started finding out he was a little stressed in these areas. I'm like, black man, let's talk. Like, what are we doing out here?
Because
I seen his drive. You dig what I'm saying? So like, that's something that I admired in him. And I was like, if you're going to work that hard, then I need to be able to help you out. And that's how it is. Like, I really feel like when I came here to New York, it's a thing of, it's a whole lot of talk, but when it actually comes down to it, you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to hear that.
Yeah.
I come from a place where we say no more, which means that.
Say less, bro.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, it's enough of that. We doing this or not? We talking budgets, we talking time, we emails, like, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I actually catch people that actually are doing something to be able to, like, believe in themselves and all that, to be able to build themselves up, then I feel like I need to be able to be a part of that because it's like I know how lonely it is. You
Plus,
know what I mean?
It's also great to have somebody else in that studio because I was doing that show for a year from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Right. Yeah.
By myself.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, my God.
With your cell phone out. It's lit. It's lit.
It's you being there.
No one is not lit.
This new Black Panther app. All right, yeah, yep. We're just going to sit here until this song is finished playing. and just keep on going to the next one.
Tell us about that a little bit more because obviously you guys made that jump to come to New York.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's not, like, we're from New York, we're from here, so we don't necessarily know about it from that perspective, but you're from Chicago, you're from Philly, so sort of making that jump to come to the biggest city where a lot of people are actually leaving because it's mad expensive
it
here.
It is.
So crazy tell us more expensive. About that.
I want to, I don't mean to, did you want to?
Ken, go ahead.
I would say one of the main reasons that I want to come here, I'm a huge J. Cole fan. So seeing his whole, like, oh, I came from the middle of nowhere and then made it to New York. I was like, oh my God, okay. If he did it, he ran in a hole. He made his dreams happen. Yeah. I can do the same thing with everything I want to do. And plus, I've been hearing from people who had transplanted here that, not saying y'all necessarily, but there are a lot of New Yorkers that, because they're born into this space, they're like, oh, it's always going to be there. I can get there at some point rather than putting in that work to make it happen. So I'm like,
some of them are learning the hard way. I think that's true. I think that's the reality.
Agreed.
Some of them are learning the hard way.
Went to school with some of those people.
So now it's like, okay, well, I'm going to come here. I'm going to do my YouTube. I'm going to have the public access TV show. I'm going to go do the radio show from 3 to 6 a.m. And then I'm going to go work my job after that. And then I'm going to go network with people. I'm going to go work my regular job. I'm going to do everything I got to do to make sure that at the end of the day, if it doesn't happen, then I'm going to say, I did everything that I could, and it just wasn't meant for me. Maybe I got to pass that knowledge on to somebody else.
Right.
But I'm not going to be the one to say, I didn't work my butt off to make sure.
Right. I feel like everybody needs to be empowered and enlightened in every way. Like, every person that lives here on this earth is going to get mad deep. Every person that lives here on this earth is literally one of one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I come into this room, like, you'll never see a College of Unjohns. Like, you will never get this spirit ever again.
Yep.
When Melvin comes to this room, you will never get that spirit ever again.
Right.
And I think that every single person needs to be able to experience that, like, beyond color. Now, the thing about it is, do I want to be able to build up a Black empire? Yes, exactly. Just like everybody else does. Every other culture and nation has that. So I want to be able to build that up. However, I want us to get past this, like, racism and colorism and all that type of stuff, because we need to be able to come together. Like, it's incredibly idiotic how long, like, we've lived with racism and colorism existing.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, if I can be able to be the one, which I'm already doing now by treating people right and understanding, looking at humans as humans, I'm able to take pictures and I'm able to do videos and people trust me with their stories to know that I'm trusting you with my deepest, darkest stories, but also that you're going to get it out to the public in the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes beyond color, you know what I'm saying? And I'm able to provide that, and I'm coming there with a beard and big hair and all that. And it's like, yeah, I want to come in like this. Yeah.
I want to be me.
I want to be myself. But when you hear me speak or you look at my creativity, you're like, you changed my perspective.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
I want to say something to that you just said that I think is very important. And I think that is when you're creating stuff for people, doing it as a journalist. I talked to Brian about this. We worked on stuff with Sideline Stories. I think it's very important that you have the trust of people to know, like what you just said, that you're going to tell their stories in the right way.
Yeah.
But I don't think that every creator understands that responsibility. 100%.
Let me give you something that.
But you do, and I like hearing that.
Let me give you something that it hit me like a couple months ago. That, like, all of us are sitting here, and even the people that's working the cameras, we have to understand how important our actual, like, gift is on this earth.
Mm.
Every single day that we're here is history.
We had this convo, yep. I remember
like
this.
I said, it's extremely important. Without us documenting or talking about it, there's no history.
Word.
There's no history. Like, you go through books, it's because it was a writer. It was a person that was able to say, today is so important, I must get this out so that the future may know.
Yeah.
For me, I need to be able to get outside and take pictures or do videos so people in the future could be able to see.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Whether it's like something bad, they could be able to say, well, I ain't trying to get on that. But I had to document that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. And I think people play around with this, like writers, journalists, you know.
It's not creative. A game.
It's not a game at all. Without us, there's no history. And also, we also show, like, we live in a dream world every single day. Like, this type of lifestyle, it's not the stability type of way. It's not the way that people think that it's real. So the fact that we're able to take and be able to say that we can be creative and be comfortable and then make a living off of it, it's like we have a spark in a dull world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this world is such like a dull place, but we're the ones that bring the action and the spark and all that. And because when documentaries come out or books come out and things like that, it sparks. Mm-hmm. Because we were sitting there like, no, like, that stability thing and what y'all doing every day, same thing. No, I can't do that.
Yeah, than us.
Right? Like, it's bigger. It's bigger than us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like some of that? Excuse me. Do you feel like some of that might have been lost with social media? Because a lot of people are probably doing these things like that now with the mentality of trying to self-promote over trying to tell these stories and get these stories and work with these people and things like that.
I think that some of them end up, those people that do take that aspect of it, you get to a certain point where you tap out, where you're like, all right, I've done everything in terms of self-promotion that I can do. What do I do now? It's like when people, I think we were having this conversation, when you get success a little too early, and you don't have, it's like, all right, now what do I do with it? Like, no shade to Lil Bow Wow, but Lil Bow Wow on Twitter all the time, like, seemingly going crazy, seemingly
like
going
still
wild.
Still trying to figure it out.
Right, right.
Have you seen, I'm not going to diss this man, but have you seen pictures of Lil Romeo lately?
I was about to say the same thing. I'm like, I follow Lil Romeo on IG, and I'm like, this man had the whole, I'm going to go to school and do this. Now I have a production studio. I have this show going on. I have this movie coming out. I'm acting in this.
Played college basketball, walked on to USC.
Me and DeMar DeRozan was a package deal, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like everything is building.
One other iconic thing.
Go ahead.
The ICDC College.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. But look at it.
Don't ever disrespect.
Look at it. Commercial. Now he can take that. He can take that in some way in the future. And like, say, for example, if him and USC want to do something, I went there. I made movies. I know how to work with different colleges now that y'all see, can flip that into something.
Yeah. I guess my point was that a lot of people see, I feel like back then at least, or maybe before social media like really became a thing, people were trying to tell stories for the sake of, like, what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That perspective, telling stories and things like that. And now some of that sort of gets lost in translation because now people just want to put things on social media all the time.
It's about being first. It's about clickbait. These are the reasons why I stepped out of the industry, because it really got to a point where I was finding, like, really deep stories. And even, like, to the point where we'll talk off air about some things, but there was, like, a ninth grader at the time was, like, one of the top in the nation and all that, right? We already know I'm going with this.
Yep.
He was, like, top in the nation, but I found
in
out.
What? Basketball?
In basketball.
Okay. Basketball. Okay.
Like, at the time, he's
you know who
grade.
He
Yoda.
Is. Just put it that
so
way.
So the thing about it is, the kid's incredibly athletic. So everybody else looks for the next kid that can jump. I say it on off air another way. But the thing about it is, I come to find out that he wants to make the NBA not only just to play, but to own a team. I'm like, you're in ninth grade. This is a story. Mm-hmm. This is a story, because what they're saying is the next generation is understanding about ownership.
They're
already thinking that. I'm waiting for the same.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
What's the what? With me coming up with it, and the fact that, like, when I come with these stories, it's like, do we need you in the lead? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing about it, where it's like, if I'm able to step out on my own and I make this connection, I'm able to come at them and say, listen, I know that you play ball. I understand that you're great. Like, I already got that.
Right. Because
even when I was
that's minutia.
Exactly. And that's one thing. Like, when I was going to, like, the Jordan Brand Classics and things like that, like, people used to shun the media. They used to look at me like, oh, he's media. I'm like, bro, just come here for a minute.
And
like,
still do, to some degree.
But at the end of the day, the first thing I would say is, I'm like, bro, listen, I already know you good at hoop. Like, guess what? That's the reason why I'm here. I'm trying to find a story, bro.
Yeah.
Well, like, I got it. Everybody's here talking about these colleges and all that. First of all, I don't even believe in the NCAA. You need to go overseas, go get your money, and go to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Go get your chicken.
Yeah.
Well, the point that you're making too, and I remember this was the whole reason I started doing my thing with Sideline Stories, was I was just like that in the same way. I stopped caring. I love sports journalism. I stopped caring about how much points it's getting, especially on the high school level, because I think it's a good point you bring up.
Yeah.
Where's this kid going to school? And I saw all the corruption that was in the AAU and all that other stuff.
It's scary, bro.
You're right. You go to this stuff scary. And I'm like, I know you know who's dope, you know who's not dope, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, but what's your story? What's really behind that? What's it really about? You know, and I think when people try to dig deeper, it's dope. When you're trying to dig deeper, when you're trying to play the songs that everybody else is not trying to hear, that's dope. Like, you're trying to get to something beneath what everybody just sees at the surface. Yeah. And it's like, it's so tired, but everybody wants that. It's like, yo, I can attach my name with this dude, so my Instagram following could go up.
But that's corny, though.
I agree. I think it is. Why don't you believe in yourself so much?
Like, whenever you meet a celebrity, why you got to take a picture with him?
Whenever
you meet somebody that's like, you know, somewhat famous, why you got to make a big deal of it?
Or whenever you write about somebody, you know, don't always highlight their accomplishments and be like, oh, I worked with this person at that point. Because a lot of people do that. Oh, congratulations to this person, and post a picture with them, whatever, and they're not even tight like that.
Yeah. Or what I've also ended up seeing in terms of what we all do is then you work with somebody, you've done something, and then they attach themselves to that person. literally forever. Literally, and that's all that they can do. It's like
that's like the only thing you remember for.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's as a creator, is that what you want to do? Yeah,
like that was your goal?
Yeah, like, bro? Like this is it. I think the point Kyle raises is a good one in that don't you want more? And you're, I think we're saying this from a place of love. Like you want everybody to want more from themselves, not necessarily just attach themselves.
We want
to
you to
people.
Get deeper in it. Like, what are you really in it for? Like, we understand all of this
that
is going to get you followers.
The thing
but
that
what
sucks,
else?
It's kind of a gift and a curse in a way. But when you get those stories, it's just better to do them yourself as opposed to, hey, I can do this for X outlet or whatever, because they're not going to want to pay you for it because they're going to want a certain amount of clicks because that's what they can sell to advertisers. Yeah. So it's better to just do it by yourself, do it independently. Which is what we're all about in this room.
Cut the middleman out. Nipsey Hussle, what's good?
Yeah.
My guy.
Considering you guys are both creatives, are there any companies that you guys like right now? Like, you know, that you really look up to their work or you care for?
Why are you looking at me?
I'm gonna put it let me put it this way. I'm not looking at any necessary like companies.
We're talking about
like,
something off air. That's what I'm saying.
That's funny. There are a few companies that I'm like I would love to work for, but I'm looking past the companies that just looking at different creatives in a sense now to see and notice how they've moved through different companies and through different eras. Like two people in particular that I look up to, Nick Cannon and Ryan Seacrest. They've been able to go through everything and still like manage who they are and build on top of that and keep building. Terrence J, same thing. Just like, all right, started on 106 in Park. Then I was over at E! News. Now I'm over here at MTV getting the bag. So it's not necessarily the companies, but in what ways are you presenting the ideas that you still have, staying relevant within that and keeping it authentic?
Right, so when you talk about media companies and things like that, like the reason why I shun away from it is because I remember it was a time when I went to NABJ and I still had the company on my chest. Mm-hmm. And the year before, I had like WGAL, right? So it was like this Lancaster County joint. So like people would mess with me because of the way I partied and the way I looked, right? Then all of a sudden the next year they was coming up to me was like, oh, we gotta talk. Yeah. And I would flat out say I'm just like, about what? Because you didn't talk to me last. I would say it flat out, be like,
it's like last year you walked right past me.
No, what do we
now you wanna have this conversation?
It's a dead
what's
serious
good?
Thing. Got what do we have yeah, what do yeah, we have yeah, to yeah. talk about?
You guys have now gotten into another thing that I find always interesting.
You wanna take a break?
Which is no. I will
have to do
this.
It right now.
I still got more seasons. I see you.
But it's the network. It's the networking. Okay, the network.
We was just talking about this.
When it comes to minorities in media. All right. Now I want to have full disclosure here before something you got to. I have never went to NABJ. Yes, please don't revoke
I haven't either. You
don't
good.
Revoke my black card. All right, Melvin's with me.
I make good collard greens, so I'm fine. Let somebody tell me I ain't black. Okay, bro. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, NABJ is not the reason to be taking away people's black card.
There you go.
Anyway, I haven't been.
But you do want to go.
I'm going to go next year.
Okay.
A lot of the
because he's in Miami.
Don't worry, that might be my reason.
Let me not even lie.
Go ahead. Yes.
Last year, what was it, Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
That was a spiritual thing for me, bro. I ain't gonna hold you.
Okay.
I was there to make my impact nationwide.
I feel you, but here's my thing. I think he brings up a good point that I've spoken to people about who went to it, right? Mm-hmm. There's this kind of thing where everybody's trying. You know, look, people are looking for opportunities. Mm-hmm. Also, in full disclosure, I've been part of the New York chapter of the NYABJ, New York Association.
Shout out to Michael Feeney.
Mm-hmm. Yes, rest in peace to Michael Feeney.
A truly brilliant and great brother.
A lot of good work with people from the New York chapter of NYABJ.
Yeah.
With all that being said, I understand when you go to these places, people are looking for opportunities. They're looking for ways to connect with different people.
Yeah.
Okay? It shouldn't matter that Kyle had whatever company he was working for 1 year and then the other, right? Like, if I meet Melvin and we don't know each other from anywhere and I'm like, yo, we're just vibing and we just talking about whatever, Lakers, Knicks, and we're vibing, we're talking about creating, or I meet Kyle, we're talking about creative, it should just be that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my problem with things like that. It's like everybody's trying to get a piece of somebody, right? Not necessarily connect and collaborate.
Yep.
And sometimes the networking isn't actually networking. The people I met through NYABJ that I still connect with and vibe with and do dope work with today are people we just vibed with. It was just about that.
Yep.
We're still good friends today. People who really want to do something better, like the late Michael Feeney, who we spoke about.
Yeah, man.
And I think that's disappointing when you see that on a national level. And it makes me wonder, like, do y'all take the networking thing seriously, or do you like more of the organic networking and like how both of you guys met Brian? Mm-hmm. Like what?
That's
you,
true.
Like what do you, as creatives, what do you see better? Like that kind of networking,
yeah, or just people get connected to names, bro. It brings validity to who they are. I went through that. Like when I got fired, it took me a year for me to like understand that like I was wondering why I felt like kind of empty, and I went to NABJ without that on my chest. And it was like this emptiness. And I really realized, I was like, you call yourself a king, right? I was like, yeah. It was like, you know that you're the same man and a king with or without that job. That's when I picked up my camera and did it on my own. Mm. I had to realize that. Mm. Like, I had to swallow that pill and understand that, like, that name brought you validity, like, in your mind, bro. But that's what a lot of people, that's why people are proud to say, I work for such and such, other such. Mm-hmm. But what did you just say? I work for.
Yes.
I'm building up someone else's.
You didn't say with. Yeah. You didn't say.
You didn't say I'm in partnership. Forward. You know what's powerful when you say I'm partnering with an ESPN. I'm partnering with a Facebook because they look at you as an equal and they say that we can all rise together.
Yeah. You want to work with, not work for.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. So at the end of the day, when you know when people come to me talking about we got to talk, I would flat out, I would have my crew and be like, for what? Because I already know what you're here for.
Yeah.
Don't come to me with that. You know what I'm saying? So like it was so through the times that like. I'll skip over some details, but at the end of the day, I live by, like, I always wanted to be based on my name. Even when I worked for a company, like, when I had that 369, you know, that three-month, six-month check-in and all that, I said I want to be known as the Hype Williams of, like, high school basketball. Like, because anybody in the 2000s, if you wanted a good video, you went to Hype.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to be, and they said, you're going to be nationwide. I was like, bet. When I step in a room, I wanted to be, within my first 3 months, that's Kyle right there. If we need a story, we going to him. I mean, I was basically speaking, I need to work for myself, you know, a long time ago.
You were saying that. You putting that energy out there.
But I didn't know that at the time. I was just thinking, I can just do that under an umbrella. Since you're giving me the passes, I can just do that, not knowing that they're looking at me totally different.
Yeah.
But it's always about my name. I want people to be able to, like, that's why I don't bang with people that come up to me when I used to work for people and try to connect. Because it's like, you're not coming up to me being genuine.
Yeah.
You're not coming up to me because of my creativity or who I am. Because my creativity and who I am, that's the thing that's going to get me far. I'm going to see this whole world based off of who I am. No name is going to take, like, a name may help out to get me over there.
Oh, yeah.
But the
only reason why
you hire me or you actually are messing with me is because of my creativity or who I am.
Yeah.
Right. So if you skipping over that, it's just like, good. I can just, like, wash you out. It's very easy for me now because I'm by myself. When I say I work for myself, I can read you. Because if you can see that, oh, he works for himself and it sparks you, I'm like, oh, you got something in you.
Yeah. Versus,
but if you just like, oh, you
say a company, hey, let's, okay.
Or you do like the whole, like, you're a freelancer or you do your own thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's cute. I do my own thing. That's so cute. Mm-hmm. I love that. But the thing about it is like, because at the end of the day, like each media company, any big company, period, it took one person to say, I believe in myself.
Yeah.
No matter what the company is, you're right about that.
It took one person to be like, I feel like I'm doper.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, I could do this a bit better.
Yes.
I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what's great. That's what people should be doing. That's
and
how
get
we
money
push
on the
forward.
Back end.
Right. You're right. And I'm going to go I'm going to go through these tough times and all that, and I got to be like a broke boy for a certain period of time and all, but it gets to the point where it's just like, yeah, my glow up came, and now like as I'm on a rise in my later years, what are you stable doing what now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have believed in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
And you got to take those chances now that you can. You know, you gotta take them now.
Agreed.
Use social media for the power of good. We talked about that in our last episode a little bit.
Yep.
And so
you gotta take those chances now. All right, this is a good discussion. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We come back, we're gonna talk a little more sports. Why Melvin should be excited about, or should not. I don't know how he feels. Excited about the Lakers this year. We're gonna delve into Kyle's sports fandom, see what else he likes. Talk a little hip hop.
Yo, don't respect my city like that, Dirk.
Ain't nobody disrespect. I just like said Philly.
Ooh.
I just said Philly.
No, listen, we go to this. Spicy.
Back after Philly. This.
No. Keep the spice going. No. Okay. We'll be back after this on the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. The Sports Walk is back. Watch Season 2 of Backpack Broadcasting's original web series that brings you the opinions of real sports fans. The entire first season and current season are available now on the Sports Walk YouTube channel and Facebook page. Check out the 2017 NYC WebFest official selection and see what other sports fans have to say on the hottest issues in sports today. It's easy. Just take the Sports Walk. All right, welcome back to Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, episode 46. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca. doing our thing once again. And we have our guest, Melvin Taylor, the host of The Alternative with Melvin Taylor, also writer for Respect Magazine, YouTuber, and Kyle Johnson, creative owner of KDJ Perspective.
Hello.
They are in the building.
Is it me you're looking for?
And I was about also, to say, you're doing Adele or Lionel Richie. Where are we going?
I don't know, but I don't know.
That's
just
me, bro. You know, I'm random.
Still making me realize y'all need to do the Quiet Storm show.
All right, let's get through this terrible list of 46ers. So for those of you who don't know, we pick an athlete to represent the number of the episode. So for the artwork or whatever, we have the athlete, you know.
See,
what
they
I mean?
Thinking that about 46ers kind of right now.
The history of sports athletes, excuse me. Athletes that wore number 46 is terrible. It's really, really bad. Damn, only five NBA players ever wore 46, and none of them are very good.
Yeah, so, I shoot them out.
Yeah, so, and we're going through all sports, and okay. this was the list. Aaron Baines, who currently wears 46 for the Boston Celtics.
Oh, he does.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
He's a solid role player.
He's probably the best 46 ever, because early. The second best one is Bo Outlaw from Portland. We're not doing that.
Oh, I liked Bo Outlaw.
And then Bo Outlaw was kind of decent.
Bo used to block some shots, man. Hey.
But he was, wait, Bo was it Portland? Hustle. I don't think
Bo have a dunk icon?
He was
I don't
also in Memphis for a little bit.
I don't think it was, no, it wasn't Portland. It was Phoenix Bo Outlaw. That's why.
I forgot he played at Phoenix.
Exactly. We're not doing that. So we got, what's it called? Andy Pettit.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean,
okay.
I'm not a Yankee fan.
Borderline Hall of Famer.
I don't know if I'm a Yankee there. Steve Thrashel.
Nope.
I always put in terrible mess to mess with him. Y'all don't watch baseball, do y'all?
Nope.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go.
Once I saw, when I was in grade school and saw people throwing 70 miles per hour, I was like, I'm good, bro. I don't need this in my life.
Craig Kimbrell, also a baseball player. Herm Edwards.
Oh, yes. Let's go, Herm.
To play.
Let's go, Herm.
To win.
The game. Let's go. I'm with
that. And then Tim McDonald, who was a safety for the 49ers in the 90s.
Yes.
We got Herm Edwards. We good.
Oliver Perez and Tyler Clippard, who was with the Mets when he wore 46.
And I was an Ollie P fan. But I got to rock with my man, Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards? You're going Herm Edwards?
To win
the game.
I guess we could stay with basketball then, Melvin. Laker jersey, yes, Laker socks, purple and gold kicks.
Doing too much Laker All-Star.
let's go ahead.
It's breathable, too. It got the holes in it. Like, it's not playing.
Kyle, do you have an NBA team?
No, I mess with the Sixers.
You mess with the Sixers.
I mess with the
Sixers. You mess with the process?
But you're not. Are you a Sixer fan?
This is the thing. No, bro, I got you. So coming up.
Here we go.
It was you.
Bro, no,
here's a chance for
I'm not speaking in a negative tone.
I'm telling you, at the radio station, we throw hands. So I'm saying,
come on.
All right, cool.
Coming up.
No, but like when I was a young boy, I used to like, it was only about Michael Jordan. Only about Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? So it was like one of my first words was Michael Jordan. Like it was like that type of thing. Like,
what's up, Jasmine?
I had the VHSs that all had Snow and all the type of stuff. Like all of his documentaries. Remember he used to make the documentaries on each of the players and all that?
Yeah.
Bro, like the NBA superstars VHSs.
I got some of these because of my older brother.
I had the big book that they had. Oh, never.
Bro, stop. Like I still remember when Michael Jordan had the Berlin song Take My Breath Away and they mixed that together. Mm-hmm. I still remember when Patti LaBelle and Big Daddy Kane had a song together and had Michael Jordan on it.
Oh, I remember that.
Do you remember Larry Bird, Small Town? Yes. I was born in a small town. Yes. Like, it's incredible. Like, and they had Magic. Then they had Clyde Drexler. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guy. Yes. Let me get back. So this is how I came up with that's how I found out about my legends, things like that. But Michael Jordan was just like this incredible like being. And I was like, that was just the guy right there. So it was like, you playing the Chicago Bulls, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. He retired. And I was just like, I don't know what to do. Mm. And I just love the game of basketball, period. So I love the game of basketball. But the thing about it is, I loved basketball just because. Like, that's how I was born. Like, I had the ball in the crib, the whole thing, da da da.
Same.
But the thing about it is.
You played?
Yeah, but the thing about it is, like, I went to high school and I could have played, like, JV or I started running cross country. Oh, and what happened was, I wound up going all pub. And I was like almost on the verge of going to state. And I was like, JV, all y'all get is a handshake. I got mad medals from me running just to get in shape. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember it was some hoopers on my team. And I remember they got a handshake. And I was like, that's corny because that's tripping in these like, I'm like, I got gold and silver on my joint.
I did cross country too. I remember. I hated those
You know
uniforms.
What I'm saying? I came in with the switches and all that. I was getting clowned until I went to state. And they was on my thing. What you talking about?
Wait, you from PA. Did you run at Penn Relays at all?
No, that's the only thing. Bro, when you do distance, it's like, in my world.
Did you do track or just cross country?
No, I did track. No, I did track and cross country. Okay. But, like, I ran distance. So, like, the 4x1s and even 4x8s and all that. Like, I was cheering my boys on. Or, you know what I mean? Or being in the Jamaican section. I used to find ways to sneak into the Jamaican section.
So, you've been to Penn Reed. You've been. You haven't been, right?
I have not been.
It's incredible.
I've been there.
It's incredible.
Sorry. So, who's your team?
Yeah, my team is the Sixers. So, like, basically, what I loved the game of basketball and things like that. And I was like, you know what? It's time to go ahead and bring it on home. I asked the Philadelphia fans. I was like, listen, can I ask them
for permission?
It's a must. Okay. It's a must. You can't go away from the home and come back and be like, what's popping, y'all? You got to ask. Can I be a part of this community now?
They let you back in?
Is New York like that? Is it similar?
I mean, look. Knicks have been so bad for long, ain't nobody been asking to come back.
That's a good point.
Nah, nobody's been like, let's get back on the Knicks bandwagon.
Yeah. That's like, there's some Laker fans out there where I'm like, hey, y'all just chill,
Knicks fans really treat it that way. Like, some Knicks fans be like, oh, we don't even want y'all anyway. You know what I mean? Like, they're like,
they do.
Look, man. They do. Bandwagon jumpers are going to do what they do. They're going to be bandwagon jumpers. I don't even focus on the energy. Like, if I've been rocking with my Knicks, you know I'm a dire Knicks fan. I've been rocking with them since I was 7. Mm-hmm. I'm going to rock with them. If you're going to come when the Knicks get hot again, Lord knows whenever
that will be. Same thing when you're an independent media person. People are going to get on you when you get hot.
True.
They're not going to do it for
me. I got to vet some people, though, because like when I support the Warriors, the people be like, oh, my God, I love Steph Curry. Tell me who is Michael Petras. Tell me who's Don Nelson. Know. You're not a Warriors fan. Tell get me, out of here.
Was
dog.
Michael Petras from America? That's when you really can tell me Michael Petras nationality. That's how I know.
But I feel that there's nothing wrong with checking fans on that. There was a guy I was in Whole Foods once a couple months ago, and this dude.
You don't eat healthy, bro? You said a couple months ago. Wow.
Nah, I was in Whole Foods yesterday. Actually.
All right, cool. Okay. I'm not saying you keep your body right, bro.
I'm still consistent with it.
All right, a couple months ago, doing media, you have to be real.
I ended up. This is the same Whole Foods where I ran into Jahlil Okafor.
My God, and, shout out Chicago.
Former Philadelphia 76ers.
He definitely said that. I'll tell you a story up here.
Anyway, I was talking to this guy, and he's a Warriors fan.
Yeah.
He's rocking the hat and everything. We ended up talking basketball some reason. I think they were playing the Sixers that night. And this other Sixers fan, we all start talking.
Nope.
And I told the Warriors fan, I'm like, how long you been a Warriors fan? But nah, he was down.
He was real.
He was real.
Like, Baron Davis.
He like Run TMC type word. Okay, there we go.
Baron Davis.
There we go.
Charles Sprewell choking.
I'm here with it.
He was down.
So when Chris Webber had joined the team, you're going back to like.
So back when we had Gilbert.
Okay. Yes. So he knew. So I was like.
Before the gun.
He's a real one. But I had to check him, though. Yeah, before the gun. Yeah. I had to check. I'm just saying, sometimes we got to vet these fans and check them and let them know what's up.
It's a lot of Lakers fans right now that's popping up. And I'm like, excuse me, do you know who Robert Sacre is?
No.
All right, chill then.
You never seen Robert Sacre.
Did you know Nick Van Exel?
You ain't never seen his dunk contest, dog?
Did you not see that Robert Sacre had a better hook shot than Dwight Howard? You need to calm down.
So how are you guys feeling about your teams, though? Your team's kind of, you got two of the really good young players in the league.
Three, you better not miscount Markel Fultz. That dude then bulked.
I saw the other night, he
looked like Michael B. Jordan in Creed. Not even lying.
I follow all of the. Like,
I got to see how that jumper
him,
looking though.
Him, Jason Tatum, my fault. Him, Jason Tatum, Mo Bamba, Joel Embiid. They all like train in the same spot. It's like pure sweat, or something like that. But I followed the photographers, so I was able to see like how he was growing. Like, cause back in high school, like I was with him. Like I was, you know, what I mean, I was able to see like his, and even with Jason Tatum too. Jason Tatum, but I knew that Jason Tatum was going to be ready and all that, bro. Jahlil Okafor was the one that told me. I was like, yo, who's next up? And he told me when he was in high school, he was like, Jason Tatum is the one.
Huh.
Jason Tatum's one. But then when I was able to see him, I was
both
like,
went to Duke also.
He has the most, he has one of the, even in high school, he has the most composed, beautiful, smoothest game I've seen in
like
a long time.
In high school, he was doing that, bro.
Like, he'll come up, post you up, shimmy, turn around. I'm like, it's gorgeous.
He's about to make Gordon Hayward trade bait.
A Gordon Hayward bench trade.
Nah, that's real though. That's real.
Gordon Hayward bench.
So you feel? How do you feel about where your team is in the process?
The fact that even you know when we talk amongst each other, Philadelphia fans, it's really a thing of just like we're so surprised that we're so young, But just off of just raw talent and just going hard, we was able to make it that far. Because mm-hmm. we thought we was going to keep building. Like, we're used to this building mm-hmm. process. You know what I mean? Like, I still remember the tanks and all that other type of stuff. So, like, we thought it was going to be a process. But Joel Embiid, like, really brought in. Then after that, like, Ben Simmons bought in. You know what I mean?
Sitting
like,
out that when one JJ NBA Redick year came, coming back changed.
Exactly. JJ Redick bought in. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody bought, even, like, TJ bought. Everybody mm-hmm. brought in and just did their job. Mm-hmm. And it started surprising people. And like, to be honest, I wasn't expecting the Celtics to really beat us. Like, I didn't want Milwaukee. I didn't want to have to deal with the Greek. I didn't want to have to deal with the Greek Freak.
Giannis,
like,
yeah. Giannis,
like the way he runs and I'm like, no, I don't want that in Philadelphia.
That's a Usain Bolt right there.
I don't want that in my town. But the Celtics came and did their thing. But at the end of the day, I'm just really looking forward to like seeing how everybody gels, because the fact that everybody's so versatile. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you really could just, everybody could switch to different lanes. Like, you could play Ben Simmons from the point guard all the way almost to the power forward. And now the way that Markel looks physically, I mean, he can even stick every, oh, you about to put on a hat.
I'm just getting
it. We got into the Lakers.
We taking our time still. We're not rushing. I still want him to go further.
Mercy.
I'm just waiting.
I hope your head sweats hard and drips down your back.
Well, if you're gonna put on,
that's why it's a breathable jersey, my guy.
I hope you got swamp butt when you. I hope it's that hot. Like, I want it to drip from the top of your head all the way down to the ceiling.
For those who can't see,
I hope your sweatpants.
For those who can't see, Melvin's bald. First of all, so it will.
Hey, you right, bald head dude named Melvin.
He don't got no headband.
Find me on YouTube. It's all good. It's all good.
You got no sweatband on.
You just put on the Laker hat.
I'll be bald in a few years, so I'm right with you.
You also, yeah. And
hey, listen, just embrace it when it comes. That's all I'm gonna say. Don't be one of them dudes that's out here trying to fight it. I was doing that for the longest. It makes it worse.
Yo, don't get no man cap, no man weaves. If I see any of y'all with it, I'm taking a Poland spring.
Hey, yo, whatever you do,
doused it in.
When you go to your barber,
I'm gonna do the Miguel Cotto. I'll be straight.
When you go to your barber, don't let them do that paint thing either. That's disgusting. One of my barbers did that to me one time. I go home and I'll take a shower and I'm like, yo, why is my head bleeding black?
Yeah. So he basically was letting you know that it was time to come on.
He did. He did.
My older brother's already doing it, and he looks like every bald dude with a beard with some color.
Like, as long as he'll look like Carlos Boozer, you good.
Common, because he's a little darker, like Common,
that
like Joe Budden.
Hey, Common got a bald head, bro. I just got done seeing him, bro. He ain't out here perpetrating, faking and all that.
No. I'm saying that's how my brother looks, so that's probably where normally. I'm going to get it from. Yeah, normal.
Okay.
No. Bald with a beard. Okay. Like Joe Budden, like, yeah.
I'm with Melvin. You can't. Fake it.
No, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do it. Because then there's something else I got to worry about.
Just look bad.
That's why I'm going to end up just shaving my
head. Start poking at other insecurities.
I already
just told let it go.
You. I was like, I already know. I already have a little bit of thinnage in the front when my hair is starting to grow out.
You sound like SpongeBob. Hey, listen, thinning.
Listen, you done made it this far, brother.
He's
blessed.
Hey, you know what next?
I was in my junior year of college being like, Jesus, what is this happening?
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
He was
right
walking
now?
Around like,
basically, you've got to be joking me. Barbara, like, hey, you want me to touch it? Bro, don't touch it. Don't touch it at all.
Don't
blow
on it. Don't breathe on it.
Don't do anything. You want to know what really hurt me, though? Found out. I was using Wynn products to shampoo my hair. I just found out last year that there was a lawsuit out against Wynn because they were making people lose their hair with that stuff.
Yo, why you ain't come up, bro? We
no.
We can do
when
this
I
together.
When I contacted them, they said that I missed the deadline to get up to 30 grand by 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. No, you don't contact Wynn. You contact them. We gonna talk.
That's
no,
a whole salary, bro.
I contacted
30
a whole
grand.
That just makes me realize, like, damn, like, I would sit there, like, yo, you started losing your hair junior year is when you felt like you had to.
Yeah, it was like sophomore year, I was growing an afro, and I was like, I see a little thinnage in the front. Mm. I still got maybe, like, around the age I'm at now, it might get bad. Junior year, I was like, no.
I have a question. So when you did it, did you tell anybody you was gonna do it? You just showed up.
I just did it one day because it had got
like,
to the point.
Should,
it got
you
to the
up
point
like
where
Jordan
I was,
when he started pledging in school. Jordan became a cute dog.
I'm asking.
And he said it was a new fresh for. It was a new reform. I'm like, you were pledging, bro. Stop the lies.
I'm asking because you're Dexter. You're saying that you're just gonna show up.
I ain't telling nobody.
Yeah, just do it.
You're gonna show up.
Just do it.
You're gonna show up.
You're gonna create more than what it is by being like building it up. When it's just like you just do it and you're like, okay, this feels right.
He should have like I'm pledging.
Now,
I think I'm gonna do that.
We got into a hair discussion now, but like, how do you? It's funny. You guys work together. He's got way more hair than you. So like, you feel some kind of way, or have you accepted?
There'd be times like I do look at some people's afros and some people's braids, and I'm like, dang man, I really wish.
Damn, I should be happy.
I used to have an afro and braids.
But now it gets to a point where I'm like, yo, some people have really patchy beards. I just keep growing mine out. Mine ain't gonna be that way for a minute. It's okay. Gonna be cool.
And one other question that goes is, okay, then how do you feel about the people that are still holding on? Like, you look at these dudes and you're like, yo, man.
I just look at them in disgust, to be honest with you, because I'm like, bruh, let it. If you still holding on and it looks semi decent, cool. If you holding on and it looks bad,
come on home.
You making it worse.
Come on home.
You let go of your insecurities, and as long as you ain't got no peanut shaped head, you be all right.
As soon as my brother saw a receding. So then my brother saw receding his shape.
Yeah, just let it go. The sooner the better, because there are a lot of guys out there that feel like dumb insecure about wanting to cut it. They like, no, my manhood, all that. Brother, I went through that too. Just let it go.
Dex, you're going to pull
it
off.
You feel so much better.
I'll be fine.
You're going to be
feel so much
What's
better.
What's that therapist? I think it's like Ivanka or something like that.
Ivanka fix
y'all
fix
my life?
He didn't do that for brothers that like, you just didn't have an intervention.
Yo, we just came up with a whole YouTube skit, bro.
That's real, bro.
We really did.
You just like, it'd be an intervention, just be you and all that. Be like, brother, I've been where you've been.
Brother, I've been there. Just take off the hat, brother. Hey, I'm not going to cut it. Just be like, brother, I've been there before. I've been there. I'm there with you right now.
Just like recording just this
call 1-800.
You can't be on the camera. Nobody wants to hear from you. Nobody wants to hear from you.
But I'm trying to make it, and I'll just make sure like I put enough highlight on it so it really shines.
Extra shine. I need to look like the black Mr. Clean out here when I do it.
Now speaking of people who are losing their hairline and actually play for your team, LeBron James. Came over.
Great transition.
It was a good transition.
Beautiful, bro. If you can reach me, do that.
Oh my God.
That's incredible.
Listen, okay. Man, okay.
All those years of doing TV.
I'm here with it. I like that. I like that.
Hey, even though LeBron's at that point.
He's going to cut his when he retired, but it's okay.
He knows he needs to come on home.
But he's LeBron.
So whatever. LeBron is now on your team. It is a new era of Laker basketball. Mm-hmm. How excited are you, and how good do you think the Lakers can be this year?
I'm very excited. Let me say that, because I even told people beforehand, even if LeBron didn't come, I would still be excited because, one, with the progression that Lonzo was making, I was like, okay, he's basically averaging like 9-7-7 in like 40 games while shooting terribly. So he's going to be there. Brandon Ingram, averaging 9 his rookie year. Then the year after that was averaging like 16.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this third year, he's going to make that jump.
LeBron
Kuzma came in. I'm going to get to that in a second.
Yep.
Kuzma came in, did his thing. I was like, okay, I like where we're going already. And then when LeBron came in, I said, now you have these guys that are coming into their own. LeBron's going to be able to take that pressure off of them. Ingram can go to 20 points.
Second star.
Lonzo can now, he can hit that, all right, I can get 12 points just off of fast breaks and layups, and I'm already going to get these assists and whatnot, and he's a good rebounder. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Kuzma can now take that next step to be like, all right, I was averaging 15, 16 on a bad team. If I can average 16 on this team, 16, 17 on this team, I can basically be like a not who Robert Horry was on the Rockets, but on the Lakers type of guy in a better sense. So I think they're going to be good. Now, there are some people that's like, oh, they're going to go Western Conference Finals. They're going to go to the finals. They're going to do – I'm not that on it. I'm like, they can go between 3-6 is a good range for
they're
me.
Going to the Western.
Because they're
going
to have to go through some growing pains.
They're going to the Western Conference Finals.
I think they can't.
They got LeBron.
I don't have faith in Carmelo and how that's going to all work out. But I don't think Utah's better. Don't think San Antonio's better. Definitely don't think Portland is better now. And the rest of the teams, I'm like, okay, hit or miss.
You can take
maybe.
Them.
And then if I have like Rondo, the progression Rondo has made in terms of being a locker room guy, and he's
that
the one that brought DeMarcus
respect and
Anthony Davis together.
Yeah.
He's the one that held that Bulls locker room together when D-Wade and Jimmy Butler was on their own thing. So I'm like, okay, if he can bring in a Beasley, a JaVale, a Lance, not saying you're going to be able to do it all the time. We know they're going to have Dennis Rodman moments. Cool. Fine with that. But now that I have a Magic here who's going to be a stoic figure, I have a LeBron here who's going to be a stoic figure. And they can be like, hey, Rondo, go yell at him. I'm cool. All right, good. We're going to be fine. So, I'm good with that.
And my other thing for you is, do you feel the need to rush and get a second star if you're the Lakers? Play it patient and wait till next offseason.
I want to say play it patient, wait till next offseason, because if Ingram can average 22 to 23, We have Ingram can be everything Andrew Wiggins should have been when Cleveland should not have made that trade.
I completely agree with that.
Because I'm 100% on the why would you make this trade when you can have Kyrie can score the ball, Andrew Wiggins can play defense, LeBron, you can go be MJ and be like, I ain't really got to play defense. I can run around and get steals and block shots.
Said the same thing
why
four
are you
years
doing
ago.
That? And now you have Tristan Thompson in the state of you can be our like rebounding guy. All we need you to do, figure out what hand you're going to shoot with and just shoot from 12 feet in. That's it.
Word.
All I need you to do.
And now you got Kevin Love on a monster contract.
Yeah. Oh, that's Cleveland's fault. Yeah.
And the last, I would say the last thing is, even if Kawhi, like, doesn't come, okay, somebody somewhere is going to say yes. Even if it's like, that's like
you're
2 years.
You're getting Anthony
like
Davis, bro. You're getting like Anthony Davis.
Oh, I know. People were telling me
Rich
that.
Rich Paul is the agent. I said this when we had Howard Beck on. You're getting it.
People were telling me that I was wild for being like, yo, he got a house in L.A. I was like, I know that. Ben Simmons just bought a house in L.A. That don't mean he coming to the Lakers or the Clippers. But as soon as I seen the Rich Paul thing happen, I was like, now you got too many dominoes starting to line up. And my roommate was like, well, at some point, Clutch is going to get into trouble because they're doing all this. Bruh, agents and people do this stuff all the
time. They're talking
bro.
All the time.
Get that up out of here. Rob Pelinka is our GM. He going to figure that out, bro. We good.
Yeah, you don't think Rob Pelinka is talking to Rich Paul about this already?
Oh, come on. That's what. That's the entire reason that KCP, that's why KCP was there last year.
Question.
Let's sign this deal in good faith. We going to give you this balloon contract. You take a deal when LeBron comes, we're going to take care of you, bro. We good.
You would take? Would you accept, would you openly accept Kevin Durant if that happens?
Good point. I would if he decided to come just because now I know he's in a state of I don't care what anybody has to say about me.
Okay.
Because Kevin Durant's very much a guy, how you were saying Spencer Dinwiddie earlier was replying to everybody.
Yeah.
KD's the type of guy.
Except Spencer doesn't have a burner account that I know of.
Right. Yep. But if KD were to say, I'm coming to the Lakers, mentally he's accepted, I'm tuning everybody else out. I'm genuinely doing whatever I want to do.
Yes.
Not as a, I'm doing this because people feel like I need to. He's like, no, I can go win wherever.
Yeah.
I'm
gotta
doing
embrace
this where
being
I want
the
to
villain.
Do.
You just got to embrace being the villain.
There you go. Now, if you really want to become a villain, go ahead and do
that. This is what I'm saying. Quitting is underrated, and being a villain is underrated.
The person in Golden State who I think is on their way out is Draymond. They're not letting Klay Thompson go because Klay likes to watch paint dry, and he's settled. He's good. Never letting Steph Curry go.
Hey, Draymond's
and out. Why would I let go of KD? Where's KD going to go? Where are you going to go?
There's rumors about
There's rumors, but same like there's rumors about Kyrie. How straight is y'all front office situation with James Dolan still in there?
Well, that's,
people around the league don't feel too good about that.
Listen, I like what the Knicks front office has been doing.
Agreed.
I like Perry.
Agreed.
I like the
this past year has been very. Couple months. Let me say that has been good.
Let's not.
I was like, let me not do that.
It's been one of the more calming times as a Knicks fan.
I agree with you.
I
agree.
Knicks is trying to be so cautious right now.
There you go.
I have to be. They've been.
It's like speaking into existence, but don't jinx.
It's like he's waiting to exhale. He was just like, it's been fine for these first 4 months, and I'm just. Waiting to be saved.
Waiting to be saved and waiting for James Dolan to mess it all up. I'm just saying.
Dog, you waiting to exhale. That shit.
But I think, I think he's going to stay away. I think he will. I think this is going
to
work for the Knicks.
He has the wherewithal.
I have a good vibe around the Knicks.
Now, work to
I think
what
it's going
to
be awful this year, but I think you have a good vibe about
there you go. Work to what degree, I don't know.
And here's my thing. Let Porzingis sit out the whole year.
Yeah,
have
I'm
Kevin Knox
that.
And everybody else, like, let me see you develop. Kind of like what the Lakers did last year.
Yep.
Let everybody just play.
I'm fine with
let
that.
Them all develop. And then come free agency 2019, who wants to be here with the young rising pieces that we have?
And Porzingis has proven that he can be a really good dude in this league.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a chance to be a top 10 to 12 player. We saw it last year. He was dominating before he got hurt.
He was killing.
And don't trade for Jimmy Butler.
Let him be healthy. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Let him be healthy and come back. All right, I want to switch gears to some hip-hop. All
right.
First of all.
Real quick.
Yes.
You know what I'm looking forward to as like to watch the Lakers? Well, first of all the content is going to come out there. But how many LeVar gift fouls? My phone is going to be stacked with them.
Or is LeVar Ball going to actually say stuff, though?
No, like on the sideline, you imagine how many pop locks he's going to be doing? And like every time LeBron throws a oop to LeVar, I mean to like, what's the buddy? To Lonzo or Zoe, throws a oop to like LeBron, his mind is going to be.
Can I say this one point?
Oh, it's
going to
be incredible.
I think LeVar is in a state of, now you have such a good thing going on with how press can go and Lonzo can really develop.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes out and starts saying stuff now.
He better not.
You really going to turn people against you. You still got some things that are going for you going really well.
Yo.
But if you start saying stuff now, the tide is going to flip on you. This is the point where you need to chill.
Yeah, because LeBron and LeVar talk. Because remember, LeVar was talking about LeBron's kid. talking about he ain't never gonna play in my league and da 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 da.
I don't think.
Did they ever have a sit down? You need to have a sit. It's kind of like when Scotty, when Dennis came over to play with Scotty, they had to have a discussion. Like, listen, you remember that? Like, they had to sit down.
That's one of them things where LeBron's people gonna talk to Lonzo's people and have that straightened out. I don't think they're going to have.
I think they need to have a sit down, like a father to father, man to man. That's what I think.
There could be some level. There could be some level.
I'm not talking to him. Why?
I'm on that wave.
That's true.
I'm on that wave. It's like, I'm here and I took the shine from your son like that.
That quick. Melvin, you're from Chicago. Let's get into Kanye.
Wow. That was really direct.
I'm very...
Saw him dancing with Lil Pump on Saturday Night Live not too long ago.
I'm very
As a water bottle.
I'm very conflicted in the sense of we know who you're gonna need to cut that out. We knew I don't know who this guy is to keep it real with you. I haven't listened to a Kanye West song since he said that stuff about Donald Trump.
He still doesn't know why he's supporting him.
Say it again.
He still doesn't know why he's supporting him.
Do you know that he wore a hat and a Kaepernick jersey at
the
same time?
Here's the thing. Kanye was trying to
make... He put that combo together.
He's trying to, you know...
Kanye was trying to make the distinction of, I like what Donald Trump can represent in terms of how he can become president, in terms of how that inspires me to be like, I can do whatever I want in the world. He didn't clarify that. What he said was, I like Donald Trump. Not saying I like Donald Trump and how he became president, because that means if I want to be the owner of Disney one day, I can do it. If I want to play for the Lakers one day, I can do it because I have that belief in myself. He just said, I like Donald Trump.
The problem when you say something like that and you say, I like what that Donald Trump was able to become president, well, then you're saying also that you like the fact that he was able to accomplish these things while basically – crapping
slandering
on other people,
a bunch of
slandering other people.
Yes.
And that's
he
not
didn't
okay.
Have that clarity
he doesn't
with
read.
He, didn't have that
he doesn't keep up on current events. Yeah. So he just comes out.
He gets
like, who's
all the
popping
information
right?
from people around
he
him.
He comes out. Who's popping right now? Oh, Trump seems to be doing this thing. And
so
he just could,
jump on
with
that,
that dragon plus, spirit and all that. Not plus, even understanding the platform he came up on. But you're incredibly ignorant. You need to shut up with that, bro. Before you say something out of your mouth, you need to make sure you do your research.
Right. And plus, it's opposite. It's opposite of Hove and Obama. Because Hov and Obama were tight.
On.
So now he like, I need to be tight with somebody to be seen in that light. It's kind of like how I feel about Nicki Minaj. You already in that light. Ooh. Why are you doing extra?
Yes.
We already see you as that. Now you're doing the most and it's bringing you down.
Right.
Stop doing that. Eminem, you don't need to put out another album after you put out a bad album. Just chill. You doing more to cover up what you did beforehand. Stop it. Now you diminishing what you have up there.
I agree with all that there, even though Kamikaze is Brian's album of the year.
I was about to say,
I'm joking.
Nah, because we actually talked about that.
You actually think it was going to be a Freddie Gibbs album? What did you guys like from this year that's dropped so far?
Man, listen, that Black Panther soundtrack album is still dope.
Nipsey
I'm
Hussle.
Still on Nipsey Hussle. Yep. I play Nipsey Hussle's album at least 4 times a week, bro. Nipsey Hussle is my guy.
You play like
bro.
Dedication with Kendrick Lamar, and yeah, Nipsey Hussle, like, come on now. Mm-hmm.
Janelle Monáe's joint is dope.
No album. I don't think. I don't know if any
shout
album.
Out, shout out to Janelle Monáe, by the way.
Janelle.
She put me in her documentary. Yeah,
right.
She dope.
That's right. I don't know if the any. I don't know if any album that came out this year, other than maybe Sky Zoo's and maybe Royce's, that starts off better than Nipsey Hussle's.
Yeah. Nipsey as far as those five or six tracks,
yeah.
Were banging.
Oh my god!
Yeah. And I wasn't on to him because Brian was like, "Yo, you need to listen to him." So then I did, and I texted Brian. I remember when I was listening tonight, I would listen to it like in pieces, like. Was walking and I was doing some food shopping and I was like, yo, I was like, bruh, this album's dope. And I respect dudes' independent movement, so that kind of like
that's the
like
one thing that brings it all together for me. With
so
me.
You like that? What have you liked this year?
I mean the same thing, but I mean shout out to Logic's new album, man.
Yo, see,
shout out to Logic, bro.
I was saying that.
I don't care what y'all say, man.
No.
Logic, the bull. Man.
Yo, Logic can rap. Bro.
Logic, can
y'all need
rap,
to stop. Y'all need to stop playing
and when
with Logic.
Logic is over this boom bap stuff, which is my sound and like the production.
That's the Logic that I like.
Another thing about Logic
before the last
noted,
2 hours,
Logic's producer Six does not get enough credit.
Yeah.
For being. He's a dope producer.
He is in sync with everything Logic.
Yo, just the sounds. Logic's album is way better than the Everybody Project. It's way better than that Bobby Tarantino well, 2 Trash
we'll talk,
he put out.
We'll talk about... So, the thing about his first... We talked about this before, yeah, but like his first album, of course, was incredible because everybody's first album is always incredible because the thing about it, they're still connected to you, right? Yeah. They're still talking about things that you know. He just got out of it. And everybody's first album, they just got out of what you're in.
And, right.
So, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, it's real. I can get
they,
there.
And then they get distance mm-hmm. from it. That's
so, then what happens is by their second album, this now, this is their lifestyle.
And Logic just got divorced and bulked up and was like, hey, I'm finna show y'all yo, I'm back, bro.
I say this
that
all the time.
That yo, divorce yo, from Logic
bro,
was...
I he got bro. Divorced.
Yeah.
He went bald. He went bald, got when Nas got
divorced. Look what happened when Nas got divorced and Life is Good dropped.
Yeah, we incredible. Talk about that. Incredible. 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 I love that album. I love that album. That's the first full Nas album that I listened to.
What are y'all trying to say?
All we saying is when you have a... No, when you have a break, when you have a breakup, you go through a glow up, dog. Like
that's all we saying. Keep your marriage, brother. Keep your marriage. We just saying sometimes...
He's like, you saying I can
go through things...
For X
you just come out and be like, I have to go even harder. I got to do this. Say, for example, when Issa come in and cheat on you, you got to go Lawrence and be like, oh, I'm yeah. really finna show you what's good.
And then you got finish. Work. You got finish shorty like he did in the end of season.
There
one.
You go. She's, yeah, whole, yeah you see yo, that yeah, Lawrence yeah. Hive yo, all day,
why you
baby.
You say finisher like that. Like you say, you got to finish her. Like
finish her.
You finished that. Yeah, that was a little.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you notice that. You notice like as men, we have like no like intimate way of ever saying like.
Yo, why's it got to be smash?
It's always smash, bang, trash, bombed. Like that's it's all
body. Somebody for dude.
Body.
Yeah, for dude come in and be like, I made love to her. You'd be like, whoa.
You
bro,
be
like, why can I say that? Like, why?
Yeah, the thing about I've had a dude that was like, pause. I'm like, hold on. You telling me being inside of a woman is pause?
Yeah, that's
yo
not,
the pause culture. Not. This is a pause superstar over here. Pause culture is.
I've chilled on it.
Yo, you're a pause superstar.
I've chilled on it.
I've chilled on it as I got older.
Not as much. Like, I still do it from time to time because my girl from Brooklyn and she do it all the time.
Yeah.
But there's some times where I chilled on it because me. That was one of the reasons me and my ex broke up because she was like, "Yo, I hate how you're toxic masculine." It's like, "Yo, bro, I just say it. It's just a habit. It ain't nothing bad."
Listen, I understand it, but it is rooted in toxic masculinity.
It is. No. It definitely is. It definitely is. And that's a conversation that a lot of people need to have that they don't want to have.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
But you recognize this. I think that's dope.
Yeah, so I'm like, yo, I know that. Yeah. And I know that, okay, I need to chill on it.
So wait, after you broke up with your ex-girl, you was like, yo, I got to chill on this. I got to chill
on this. I mean, a little bit. I was like, all right, she was kind of right. Like, I'm going to calm down.
Yeah, like, I've calmed down.
Shout out to her, though. If you ever watching this, shout out to you.
Yeah, I calmed down as I got older. All right, so everybody, so this year's been an interesting year in hip-hop.
Logic. Oh, yeah, so back to the Logic joint. So the second album.
Oh, my God, Big Crit dropped this year, too.
That was late last
okay,
year.
Okay, cool. I was like, oh, my God. Wait a minute. My fault.
That was
my
around when Sci-High dropped. Ooh,
yes. I was about to have a panic attack. Go ahead.
I'm
my bad,
saying,
brother.
You get it out of system.
My bad. We good now.
I'm here for you, bro.
And we're going to wrap up after
I'm
this.
I'm here for you.
Yeah.
But like his second album and things like that, that was the one that was on the spaceship and things like that, that was cool. But then like his third one with the Everybody thing, like that was mainly for like social justice. That was made for like, because that was one with the suicide song and whatnot. That was one with that. Like these were things that needed to be talked about, especially in the black community, and it went worldwide. It was a beautiful thing, but he also went into a very dark stage during that time. Because imagine performing that song day after day after day after day after day. You're talking about suicide, bro, ending your life.
Yeah,
and he has to inspire that person's at the bottom of their barrel, and he has to bring that person up every single night. He has to bring up thousands of people every night to not want to end your life. So then he had to go through that stage. Then the next two was kind of like, you know, put some music. To me, it was like
the
kind
Bobby
of put some music
stuff. I didn't really care.
I was like, it was a couple of songs in there, but this one, because you say that, this one he's talking about. He was like, oh, y'all must have forgot.
Oh yeah,
y'all must have forgot that rapping. I don't consider myself as top three nor two. So what's left?
But he's rapping.
I was like, ooh,
he's rapping.
Ooh, wee.
The production's dope. Mm-hmm.
It's
like
incredible.
I just want to touch something you brought up earlier.
Go ahead.
The Lupe album, because I have not spoken to you about this. I know you haven't listened to it.
I got to start it.
My reactors, I'm going to get to it, I promise.
You're a Chicago guy. Here's my thing on this Lupe album.
I love that you traveled the world, but I just don't need to be able to hear it in your tracks.
One,
I love that your culture. I love it. I love it. Like, black man, go do it. Like, I love you.
But don't overdo
it. You're speaking Spanish.
I hated
your Jamaican one.
The Drogas Light album.
Yeah, I didn't.
The album before this.
Nope.
I did not like. I never will listen to that album.
Well, just correct me if I'm wrong. Was that the one that had, like, the spring and then it would mix into
No, that's Tetsuo and Youth. That was the one before
that.
That was cool. I like that. To get his thing. Here's my problem with this album, right? Number one, 98 minutes. Way too long. I'm 35 years old. I ain't got time for that.
With a daughter.
I don't have time for that, right? Like, he knows how I feel about long albums. Two, the point that Kyle brings up, which I think is fair, Lupe had a loose concept on this album but then is all over the place. There's a song that opens up where he's rapping in Spanish. Then he's in Jamaican patois. Then he's on different things. But towards the end of this album, there are some songs that are actually really good. And it sounds like some Food and Liquor. Yeah. Lupe, very lyrical, good production. Mm-hmm. I think it was a King Nas song, Stack That Cheese. There's some good songs at the end of the album. The problem is...
they're at the end, so you already turned the album off.
You've already been like, look, you probably got through the first 70 and you're like, the end of the album's really good. I just don't think people are going to sit there for it. You know why I listened to it and stayed through it? Because I was moving through, traveling on a flight, coming back from South Carolina. So I had all this time as I was moving and sitting on a plane.
I'm thinking about that right now, just as like doing a reaction channel. I'm not sitting there for 98 minutes. And then talking in between, hey, Lupe, you got me messed up,
and it's like eight interludes.
Look, only two.
You got to play a video game in order to listen to that. Like you have to play, like 2K. You have to play around like 12-minute quarters. It has to that's real rap. Like you got to pay about two games.
And watch all the cutscenes.
Real rap. Right.
I have it with Lil Wayne, too. I have it with Lil Wayne, too.
Is that like 23 songs?
Minutes.
I cannot wait.
Other than Big Crit and Royce da 5'9's 20-track albums, both of which were great, can't do long albums.
Here's my thing. When you're up at that point,
why
do you need
and Lil Wayne
it's a reason when it comes to actually like Grammys and the numbers and things like that. That's the reason why like Post Malone's album was really long. That's why Drake's album was really long.
Yeah,
Chris Brown's album was really long.
But the Carter Five have been in the works for years.
If that's so the case, then why Bruno Mars out here flaming with nine songs? Why Hov out here getting 10 Hov
songs,
put like 14
songs
at 14 on the bonus and 10? Yeah, Hov out here getting nominations.
Yeah,
top.
But why don't people understand?
But Freddie was 10? In terms of like hip hop people, I would say these people that we mentioned are have the capability
you
of being
Bruno
there.
Mars and hip hop.
Freddie was 10.
Hey man, Jackson's album was dope.
Look, I'm
Bruno
trying
Mars
to help you
fine.
Out.
Yeah,
but we're not. That's not hip hop.
I feel you.
Black Milk's album wasn't that long.
Black Milk's album's good. It's one of the better albums this year too.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why hip hop sometimes people don't understand less is sometimes more. And some of the best albums that I'm sure we all love are some of the tightest albums.
Unless you come.
Oh, hold on. Here we go.
Unless so,
just want to be able to throw this out, and I don't care how y'all feel about him because he's one of the greatest of this time.
Oh,
Anderson,
gosh.
Anderson Paak,
oh, brother.
Is
no. We here.
Anderson Paak.
Yes.
We are so excited for that.
It is
a
countdown. Anderson Paak.
I can't wait.
Is dropping an album, and Kendrick Lamar is going to be on that.
Hold on. I thought Malibu was the album of the year of 2016.
Oh my god! Like
2016.
Q-Tip is producing. Dre production is on.
Stop it. I'm losing it. I'm losing it Wednesday night, bro.
You
when does it come out?
It comes out on the 4th.
I've heard like
3 songs.
Second,
third. Yeah, so Wednesday night, I'm going to try to do
it. So it'll already be out by the time this episode goes out, which means we're all going to be.
Yeah, I'm already losing
my
mind now.
Check my reaction channel.
Yes.
Like internally,
I will be.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm in the crib. Oh, man.
Yes,
Anderson Paak.
So everybody decided anything else?
I don't know. Yo, should I be sipping on a Modelo or a Corona at this time? Please let me know.
For Anderson Paak's album?
Oh, I'm gonna be vibing.
What should be your drink of choice?
Corona or the Modelo? It's brews this night. All right, we already got it set up. Modelo's or Corona?
I gotta go with the Modelo.
Come
That's
on now.
I'm doing. That's
should I do the glass or should I do the can?
You can't go with the can.
Do the glass.
You ain't on the beach.
Do the glass. You gonna go that?
You can't
deep,
do the can.
Glass, dog.
Nah, man.
Yo,
he took
that can. Mad of it. Did you say a can? We drink with the can. Can.
Can. Nah, you can't do the can. Yo, if somebody else brings a can of beer, you got to pour it into the glass. You can't do the can in the crib. Yeah, really.
I'm just really?
I'm just here to be myself.
So I'm saying you could be yourself. I don't
know. I just noticed that it was cheaper and it came with a little more.
Swing the mic that way.
I'm just saying when you get to the crib, you got to pour it in the glass.
So okay. I'll keep it in the black bag and the brown bag when I come into your crib.
Yo, absolutely. Don't pour it out in front of me.
I got you, bro.
Go.
I got
it's
you.
Lit. It's lit.
I got you.
And it's a Pac listening party.
All right, man.
Yo, real rap.
We got to get that done. Real hey, we all
stream it.
We are out of time, though.
There you go.
We are out of time. You guys have been great, man.
Yeah, we went over.
And I appreciate y'all.
We went a lot longer than
we
thought.
We got
great.
We got to get you guys back up on here.
Oh,
for sure.
Yo, bro, we all going to be rising. We always going to have something to talk about, bro.
There's always so much stuff we haven't even talked about.
That's real rap.
So we got, and you guys are a package deal. Y'all have to come together.
Yeah,
you
know, sure.
That's cool, bro.
This is probably our longest episode too. I think
we here for it.
So that's that lets you know how that was flowing.
Yeah, we flowing good. We like the vibe. Just no Modelo's in cans.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Modelo
Negro or the regular?
Negro.
Negro.
Hey, even over here like
that's how you do. I don't even mess with the regular. Don't bring that in my house.
Don't bring what?
I brought the regular Modelos.
Oh, nah. Be like, I brought extra. Be like, no, you can take them extra ones outside. Take the extra ones out back.
I'm a Blue Moon guy myself.
I'm a Blue Moon guy too. I do like Blue Moon.
Yeah, I do mess with that too.
I mess with that. All right, guys. So this is episode 46. We named this the Herm Edwards episode.
That's right, yeah.
We want to see. Thank Melvin Taylor. Remember, you can check him out, a host of The Alternative with Melvin Taylor. Also, check out his writing with Respect Magazine. And Kyle Johnson, Creative Extraordinaire.
Thank you,
KDJ Perspective is his company.
We're going to have the lower thirds under your name.
Melvin Taylor, baby.
There you go. So these guys came and vibed with us. For the two of them and Brian Fonseca, I'm Dexter Henry. Until next time, we'll see y'all on the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast.
Talk to him.
Hey.